Welcome to Crossroads, the broadcast ministry of Montgomery's First Baptist Church, where you can discover God's personal plan and power to conquer your problems through Jesus Christ. Join us now as God's Word heals, encourages, and enlightens your spiritual life.
Well, today is Senior Adult Sunday, and I'm often reminded of a little quip that Chuck Swindoll says from time to time. Swindoll says, "Each morning I wake up and brush off my wits, grab the paper and read the obits. If my name is missing, I know I'm not dead, so I eat a good breakfast and go back to bed." Well, being a senior adult is a little bit more than that. As you saw in our video, our senior adults are involved in many, many different ministries here in our church. Now, Jay offered this invitation to me to speak today some time back because he was going to be going on a mission trip to East Asia and was planning on getting here but wasn't sure about all of the connections and so forth, and so he lined me up to preach. However, about 2 weeks ago, that trip was canceled. And so I went to Jay and said, "Jay, you know, if you're not going, let me give this invitation back to you and you preach." But he was so gracious in saying, "Oh, no, you've already worked on an outline. It's Senior Adult Sunday. You go ahead and do that." So I appreciate it very much, and I do not take this invitation lightly. This is a high and holy place. You know, we're blessed with our pastor. I remember several years ago, I read a book by John Maxwell that was on the five levels of leadership. And I can't remember all five of those off the top of my head, but I remember that each one started with the letter P. And I remember the bookends, the lowest level of leadership and the highest level of leadership. And Maxwell says that the lowest level of leadership is leading by position. In other words, individuals follow you because of your position, because of your title, because you're the person in authority. They may not respect you, they may not care for you very much, but they follow you because of your position. That's Maxwell's lowest level of leadership. And on the opposite end of the spectrum was his highest area of leadership. And the word that Maxwell used there was pinnacle, that you are on the pinnacle of your leadership. And Maxwell talks about an individual that you just want to follow. You want to follow this person because of who they are, because of what they do, because of what they stand for. And that, my friends, is our pastor, Jay Wolf. Aren't we blessed? Amen. Thank you. Without a doubt. Gladys Dunn was a new person in town, and she had just moved into an apartment, and she noticed a church right down the street. And so she decided that on Sunday she would go and visit at this church. She loved the beauty of the aesthetics of the building. She sat in the worship service and looked at the stained glass windows. She enjoyed the music and the choir. And then it came time for the sermon. And the sermon went on and on. And it was not the least bit interesting. And so Gladys began to look around, and she saw that church members were nodding off. They were going to sleep. Finally, the sermon and the service ended, and so Gladys turned to the man that was still a little sleepy next to her and extended her hand and said, "I'm Gladys Dunn." The man replied, "You and me both, lady." Well, I hope you don't leave here today saying, "I'm Gladys Dunn." Have you ever been asked this question? If you could change one thing about your life, what would it be? If you could change one thing about your life, what would it be? You see, change is something that each of us need from time to time, and yet quite often in our lives, change is something that we avoid, and we don't really want to be a part of that. We don't embrace it in our lives. It was Mark Twain that says, "Nobody likes change except a wet baby," and often that is true. You see, we want improvement, but we're unwilling to pay the price that comes for that improvement. And that's the problem, because you'll never become what God intends you to be by remaining what you are. The Apostle Paul admonished us in this way, to not be conformed to this world, but to be transformed, to be changed by the renewing of our minds. And yet we find ourselves just in a headlock, pinned by our persistent pride and refusing to change. I wish that I could take the credit for this outline for this sermon today, but I cannot. A couple of months ago, I was reading a little devotion booklet that we make available free out here in the foyer, and I ran across this outline, and it was God's leadership to me to say, expand this into a sermon. The little devotion guide is entitled, "The Word for You Today." And my prayer is that God will transform my words to be His word for you today. Now, would you take that little outline and let's look at it, please. Let me ask you a question. Are you wrestling with God? Are you wrestling with God? Is there a situation in your life that you're struggling with? Is there a problem or something else that's going on that needs changing in your life today? Do you find yourself wrestling with God in a holy discomfort? If so, this message is for you. Jacob was a man that wrestled with God. We find him over in Genesis. You'll recall that Jacob was the son of Isaac and Rebekah. In fact, he was a twin son. He was the second born twin, right behind his brother Esau. Esau born first, Jacob just seconds later. But one thing that was interesting in that situation was that Jacob was holding on to his brother Esau's heel. And the Bible describes that as saying that this was a revelation that Jacob would one day rule over his brother, which was not the custom. Jacob's name means trickster or deceiver. Why, today we'd call him a con man. He did anything that he possibly could to get exactly what he wanted. He had no value for relatives, no value for relationships. And in fact, with his brother Esau, he stole his birthright for just the price of a bowl of soup. Esau was furious and sought to kill him. And so in fear, Jacob turns and runs away. He runs to a foreign country, and there he marries two women, Leah and Rachel. Both of these girls are daughters of a man named Laban. And here Jacob stays for 20 years. However, during this time, he continues to use his con man MO, and he continues to gain extreme wealth during this time. In fact, over a period of time, he basically takes everything that his father-in-law has. He burns relationship bridges. And now he is on the run again. He is turned tail toward his homeland. And as the old popular song states, he is stuck in the middle with you. And that "you" would be a capital Y. He is stuck in the middle with God. Because in this direction is his father-in-law Laban. And he's burned those bridges and he can't go back that way. And in this direction is his older brother Esau, and he wants to kill him, and he's really worried about going in that direction, even though 20 years have passed. And so we find Jacob stuck in the middle, all alone with God. And that's where our Bible passage picks up this morning. If you have your Bibles, turn with me, please, to Genesis chapter 32. Genesis chapter 32, we're going to begin with verse 22, and I'll be reading from the New International Version. That night, Jacob got up, took his two wives and his two maidservants and his 11 sons, and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. After he had sent them across the stream, he sent over all his possessions. So Jacob was left all alone, and a man wrestled with him until daybreak. When the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip, so that his hip was wrenched, and he wrestled with the man. Then the man said, "Let me go, for it is daybreak." But Jacob replied, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." The man asked him, "What is your name?" "Jacob," he answered. Then the man said, "Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with men and have overcome." Jacob said, "Please tell me your name." But he replied, "Why do you ask my name?" Then he blessed him there. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, "It is because I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared." The sun rose above him as he passed Peniel, and he was limping because of his hip. Therefore, to this day, the Israelites do not eat the tendon attached to the socket of the hip, because the socket of Jacob's hip was touched near the tendon. Would you pray with me, please? Father, I ask that during these moments together this morning that you would get me out of the way and literally hide me behind the cross on this pulpit. Lord, we are in need of change in our lives, and we ask you to bring change to us, permanent change, so that we may leave this place a different people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. From Jacob, we can discover, first of all, that change happens through crisis. Change happens through crisis. Now, keep in mind that Jacob is going through all of these things that I have shared through the background here, and he's greatly concerned about what kind of response he's going to get from Esau. And so he takes all of his family in the middle of the night, and he moves them across the river and starts them on the journey. But not only that, he takes them and he divides them into two different groups. He's very strategic, and he takes half the family and sends them over, and then another half and sends them a little different direction. And his hope is that if Esau attacks, that perhaps one of these groups will survive. And then Jacob moves back across the river, and he's all alone. Perhaps he's sitting in his tent in complete darkness. And there in the middle of the night, in that complete darkness, suddenly from nowhere, someone grabs him and begins to wrestle with him. Can you imagine what he thinks when this happens? I can only imagine that his first thought is, this is Esau trying to kill him. And so he begins to wrestle with this individual. And the wrestling match continues on and on through the evening. And the longer that the wrestling match goes, we see that Jacob moves from this is a man to this is an angel to this is God. Jacob realizes exactly what is going on. It was Clyde T. Francisco that said that this is one of the most carefully structured passages in the entire book of Genesis. What we have here is a theophany, or better yet, a Christophany. It is an appearance of the incarnate Christ coming and grabbing a hold of Jacob and seeking to get his attention and bring about change. It's a test of Jacob's fitness for the tasks that lie ahead, but it's more than that. It's a pivotal point of change in his life. You know, God will allow us to be involved in a crisis. He'll allow things to enter into our life that are there to get our attention. And we are like Jacob. We try to do all the things that we want to do on our own and with our own power and in our own timetable. But God doesn't work that way. And we need to have a time where we say, God, I cannot do this by myself. I need your help. I need God. My friends, if you're there today, then you're on the verge of a breakthrough. However, if you're asking God to make you comfortable in your sin, you can forget it. He's not going to do that. In Deuteronomy chapter 32, we read of the story of the eagle with the mother eagle, and she disrupts the nest for her eaglets, and she makes them very uncomfortable, and she pushes them out of the nest to begin to fly. God does the same thing for each of us, and He brings a crisis in our lives to make us uncomfortable in that situation. You see, God knows that transformation will not occur until your fear of change is outweighed by your pain of your circumstance. So the first thing that we see is that change happens through crisis. Secondly, change happens through commitment. Change happens through commitment. Jacob realizes that he is wrestling with God, and he says, I'll not let you go until you bless me. You see, Jacob is committed and persistent in this situation. He sticks to the task, and he wrestles all night with God. Now, when you think about this, wrestling with God and he's pinning God, what exactly does that mean? Well, in my mind, I envision this, that God is toying with Jacob. In fact, it's very much like a father wrestling with his son on the floor in the den, and the father allows the son to win the wrestling match. I mean, if God could touch his hip, could he not only have touched his arms and ended this? Obviously so. You see, God allows Jacob to continue to struggle in this transformation, and Jacob continues to show commitment to the task. God gets our attention through a crisis, and he doesn't always solve it immediately. Now, in our microwave world, we like things instantly. We like instant food. We like instant success. We like instant internet access. In fact, if a website doesn't open within 3 seconds, we're scrolling on to the next site. But God doesn't answer that way. And often when we don't receive an immediate answer to a prayer or an immediate change in our life and circumstances, we're guilty of saying, forget it, God. But Jacob doesn't do that. He's committed to the task. Often change doesn't come overnight. In fact, experts tell us that you have to do something every day for 6 weeks in order to make that a habit in your life. We read things of that nature. That's 42 days. Interestingly, the Bible has a lot to say about 40 days, almost the same amount of time. You see, often change in our lives is a lot like peeling an onion. Now, I've got an onion right here today. I'm not going to peel it. But when you peel an onion, it can be a time-consuming process. It can be a tedious process. It can be an emotional process. And God works in our lives very much the same way as far as change is concerned. Jacob in this passage is committed to the task, and he's going to stay with God until that blessing occurs. Max Lucado has a little booklet out called He Fights for You. It actually came out 2 years ago, but I recently discovered it. The subtitle is 40 Promises for Everyday Battles. In the book, Lucado uses Jericho as the example, the Battle of Jericho in the ancient Hebrews. But the whole book is not text about Jericho. Just the first part of the book is text of Jericho. And then you find in the rest of the book that Lucado gives you 40 days to incorporate into your personal quiet time to talk about your Jericho, what the situation is that you're facing in your life. And so he gives you an opportunity for worship and scripture and prayer that you can use on a daily basis. It's an excellent little resource. You see, it takes time to bring about change. On your outline, I have a passage from Isaiah chapter 40. They that wait upon the Lord or hope in the Lord will renew their strength. It is an active tense. It's not like sitting on a bench and waiting on a bus. It's more like a waiter in a restaurant. You're serving, you're working, you're actively seeking the Lord and His advice for you. So change happens through crisis. Change happens through commitment. And thirdly, change happens through confession. Through confession. Now, why do you think that God asked Jacob his name? I mean, obviously, he knows his name. And I look at this and think about it as just the way that God asked in the book of Genesis, Adam, where are you? What have you done? Have you eaten from the tree? Did God know the answer to all of those questions? Well, of course he did. You see, the question is to provoke a confession. And so he is saying to Jacob, what is your name? Remember what the name Jacob means. Trickster, deceiver, con man. You see, God is there with Jacob, wanting Jacob to confess his own character flaws. Now, names were very important to the Hebrews. In our world today, we don't think too much about names. I mean, you may choose to name a child after your mother or your father or your grandmother, or you may even choose a name based on how it sounds, how the first and middle name together sound, something of that nature. That's the kind of thought that we put into choosing a name in America. I'm always amused by the books with the names of children and what those names mean. You know, they're always wonderful names. And his name means great courage. And his name means wonderful person. You know, you never have one that says, and his name means little stinker. Well, let me tell you, Jacob's name was Little Stinker. And so God is asking him to admit his own character flaws here and to confess at this time. For genuine change to occur, we must honestly face and admit our faults, our sins, and our weaknesses. We must agree with God. You see, we're often good at excuses. We're often good at blaming somebody else. We say, oh, well, you know, it's the way I was raised. It's my environment. It was my parents. It's my situation at work. It's my boss, you know. We can come up with all of these excuses, but we must take the blame and confess to God and humble ourselves for change to occur. And when we do that, God gives us access to His power and helps change us for the better. You see, God loves you just the way you are, but He loves you too much to leave you that way. So change happens through crisis, through commitment, through confession, and lastly, through cooperation. Through cooperation. God started changing Jacob as soon as he admitted that he was wrong. God began to work his plan in his life. You see, Jacob would never be the same after this takes place. Once you have a personal encounter with God, you are changed. For Jacob, the cheater became a prince. His name was changed to Israel, which means prince with God or God prevails. His name, his life would take on a totally new direction because of the supremacy of God in his life. Formerly, Jacob had just called upon God to get what he wanted for his own agenda, but now he would rather die than miss the mercy and grace that God would give him. Never again would he be satisfied with material possessions or a multitude of children. He must have God. Change has occurred. You see, God looked at Jacob as this rough and crusty individual, and he looked below the surface, and he saw his potential, and he knew exactly what Jacob was capable of doing. And he does the same thing in our lives as well. He looks beyond our exterior to our potential, to our heart. Senior adults will often say, you know, I'm too old to change. You can't teach an old dog new tricks. Well, folks, that's not even true about dogs, much less human beings. We can all change. And God looks below the surface, and he looks at our heart, and he says, you're not a Jacob. You're an Israel, a prince, a princess for God's kingdom. For we are heirs, joint heirs with Christ, that we may be glorified together. Or as Paul said to the church at Philippi, he who began a good work in you will carry it on until completion, until the day of Christ Jesus. The Bible says that the sun was rising as Jacob left this place as he walked by Peniel, but he was limping because of his hip. Don't you love that, Steve? Here he is limping along. He leaves this dramatic wrestling match with a new name, a new heart, and possible sciatic nerve damage. You see, God touched him at a point of his strength. Why, his first resort was always to run. He gets in trouble with his brother Esau. He turns and runs. He gets in trouble with his father-in-law. He turns and runs, and God says, enough. You will no longer run, but rather you will stand and face your problems head on with my strength. What about you? Are you wrestling with God today? Do you want to change? Do you want God to help you? He will. He'll use the process of crisis, commitment, confession, and cooperation if you'll only surrender to him. And here's the application point. When God does the changing, it will be permanent. Would you pray with me, please?
Thank you for sharing worship with us. We trust God has used this broadcast for your spiritual growth and encouragement. If this ministry has touched your life, please let us know. If you'd like to share in the cost of this broadcast, you may send your gifts and support to First Baptist Church. Your partnership with us will help strengthen and extend this ministry and will be greatly appreciated. And remember, when you are at the crossroads, follow Christ.